I'm sorry, I'm really riled up this morning. That's so it goes. That's
so it goes. That's so it goes. Why is that a thing? How can that be a thing?
Yeah, it shouldn't be a thing.
Just what a... I want to swear. I want to swear so badly.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with Jane Matinere on the board. And coming up this hour, in the next segment, if you would like to win some Wisconsin State Fair tickets.
We got them.
It kicks off. We got them. We got 25 of them. So we're going to be giving those out every day until next week. And in the next segment, you can call in, play to win. And there's really no losing.
No.
As long as you just answer the question, there is no way to lose. And all you have to do is tell us, you have to categorize three of the new foods. I'm going to give you three foods. And you have to tell me which ones you would devour once, take a bite of every day for the rest of your life, or banish to hell. So this is this is a play off of a game called, we'll say, Fornicate, Marry, Kill, which is usually reserved for having to categorize three people. And which one would you fornicate with? Which one would you marry? And which one would you kill? But since you can't really do that with food, we're going to say, which one would you devour in one sitting? Which would you take a bite of for the rest of your life, one time a day? And which one would you banish to hell? Because there are some interesting foods making their debut at this year's fair. So we will be playing that in the next segment. And then at 11:30, J.R. Radcliffe, he's been gone for a while. He is back to give us a sports update across Brewers, Packers, and Women's World Cup. And typically, we do public service announcement during this segment on Thursdays, but Dr. Lyerly is traveling and could not join us live. And actually, next week, we are also going to be having a replay because my husband is turning 40. And so I will be 7 months pregnant in Vegas.
Oh,
and so
fun.
I will report back how fun that is.
Oh, boy.
But that'll be for next week. So 2 weeks from now, Dr. Lyerly will be back. But Jane and I thought this would be a good time because, you know, every once in a while when Jane and I are talking about topics to discuss on the show that we care about, a lot of times in the world that we're living in right now, there is a terrible, sad, infuriating headline having to do with a woman somewhere in America or multiple women who is living in a dystopian nightmare when it comes to her reproductive health and her reproductive freedoms. And I always, whenever we see those headlines, it's like, all right, but how do we talk about it without just saying the obvious of this is infuriating? And so in lieu of talking about other women's health issues, like we usually do with Dr. Lyerly, we thought we'd just kind of compile some of the headlines that we've seen just this month.
Yes.
As a reminder that we can't just get used to this. And it can't just become another headline as far as another woman who has lost her ability to get pregnant because she didn't get the health care that she needed when she went into sepsis. Or that it's not only going after doctors, it's going after the actual women, which they said they were not going to do.
Oh, I think that was a lie.
So let's just start with some of the headlines that I have found from just this month. In Georgia, all-male anti-abortion panel calls for death penalty.
Oh, okay.
Last weekend, a panel of all-male anti-abortion movement leaders gathered in Georgia to kick off a weekend of harassing a nearby abortion clinic and brainstorming strategies to subject people who have abortions to the death penalty. Every speaker at the extremist group Operation Save America's abortion panel. Sorry, the group is called Operation Save America. This was the abortion panel. Every single person on the panel was a man. And at one point, Darren Stid, who is Operation Save America's assistant national director, jokingly asked the all-male panelists, "Why do you hate all women?" to uproarious laughter.
Oh, that's so funny.
Because I don't know what the punchline was. I don't get it. But yeah, so that's happening in Georgia. That was over the weekend.
Can I just interject something real quickly?
Sure, Jane.
What never fails to amaze me is when all of these all-male panels are talking about reproduction. We never talk about the sperm.
Mm-hmm.
That's never, the man's role in pregnancy is never brought up, never mentioned. He apparently bears no responsibility at all.
Well, wait till I get to what Wisconsin has introduced this week, which will be the cherry on top at the end of this roundup. Then in Texas last week, Texas women begin heartbreaking testimony in case against state abortion bans. So this was last week. You may have heard of some of the testimony that was coming out of a case called Zurowski versus the state of Texas, which is a landmark case that seeks to clarify a dangerously confusing exception to the state's archaic abortion laws. So the suit is brought forth by 13 Texas women who say they almost died from life-threatening pregnancy-related complications and were still unable to get emergency abortion care, even though the state's abortion ban includes a hypothetical exception for such cases. And this is happening because healthcare providers in violation of Texas laws face the threat of life in prison,
yep,
a $100,000 fine, and loss of their medical license. And so women, when they go into a medical emergency, are not receiving the care that they need because the doctors are so afraid of these consequences if that they could be charged with providing an abortion.
I have a sound clip if you'd like to hear that.
Great, let's play it.
One of the plaintiffs testified today that when she was almost halfway through her pregnancy, her cervix started dilating prematurely and she began leaking amniotic fluid. She was told that miscarriage was inevitable, but because it hadn't happened yet and the baby's heart was still beating, the doctor couldn't induce labor because it would be considered an illegal abortion. She described the anguish of having the baby's heartbeat monitored.
So several times I just had to listen to her heartbeat while simultaneously wanting to hear it and not wanting to hear it at the same time.
Zurowski says it took 3 days for the baby's heart to stop beating, and during that time, she went into septic shock. She spent several days in the ICU, and as a result of the sepsis, developed several reproductive complications that could make conceiving again difficult, even with fertility treatments. She was visibly angry when the plaintiff's attorney read a statement from the state's attorneys that claimed Zurowski actually had no standing in the lawsuit since it's unlikely she'll get pregnant again and therefore won't be impacted by the state's abortion bans in the future.
I mean, that's infuriating. I think it's disgusting and ironic. Do they not realize that the reason why I might not be able to get pregnant again is because of what happened to me as a result of the laws that they support?
The state is asking for the case to be dismissed, saying that it stems from the plaintiffs not liking the state's restrictions on abortion. And it says that any confusion about medical exceptions on the parts of physicians is directly attributable to misinformation.
I want you to think about that. Think about that for a minute. The state of Texas says that these women have no investment in this case anymore because they weren't able to get the treatment they needed when they needed it and can no longer have children. So therefore, they are not invested in this. Think about that. The logic behind that.
The cruelty behind that.
Yes.
Well, we only have a couple minutes left in this segment, so I got to keep moving along because I still have three more headlines to get to. In Nebraska last week, a teen was sentenced to jail after abortion said she didn't want to have a child with her abusive partner. A Nebraska judge sentenced 19-year-old Celeste Burgess to 90 days in jail and 2 years of probation on charges related to ending her pregnancy with abortion pills. And she said on the stand that part of the reason why she didn't want to continue with the pregnancy is because she was in an abusive relationship and didn't want to parent a child with her abusive partner. And yet is still going to jail and was charged as an adult.
And nothing has been happened to him, by the way.
Yeah. And speaking of abusive relationships, domestic violence hotline reports 99% increase in calls post-Roe. That these pregnancies since overall the national domestic violence hotline said they've seen a 99% increase in calls from people saying their partners are trying to control their reproductive choices, which domestic violence experts call reproductive coercion. Since Roe was overturned, the hotline told Vice News that the year before Roe, they received 1,230 calls. In the year since, the hotline's received 2,442.
Wow.
This is also a good reminder to tell you that the leading cause of death for pregnant women is homicide, not maternal mortality from obstetrics complications.
Their partners murder them.
Yes. 19 Republican attorneys want police to investigate people for abortions. They were asking the Biden administration to overturn a proposed change that the Biden administration wanted medical privacy laws to ban doctors and nurses from reporting suspected abortions to law enforcement. 19 Republican attorney generals would like them to not do that. And finally, in Wisconsin news, because of course, let's come back to that. Republican lawmakers are introducing legislation that would require the perpetrator of sexual assault to pay double the amount of child support.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
It's legislation which is circulating right now for co-sponsorship, and they argue the person convicted of sexual assault should bear both halves of the financial responsibility for raising the child. But first they have to be convicted to be able to have to pay that portion of the money. And it still doesn't help that you have to carry your rapist baby and that their rapist can now choose the mother of their children. So, sorry to be such a downer, but I feel like we need to remember that this is a reality, not only in other states, but also in our state right now. So, we will have more fun when we come back. If you would like to win some Wisconsin State Fair tickets, call now, 844-967-2789.
This is only where it began. Nobody knows how the story ends. Nobody knows how the story ends. Don't miss it. Don't leave it. Be late. It's Scholars to Donuts, where our state fair is the best state fair in our state. Our state fair is a great state fair. Don't miss it. Don't even be late. Boom, boom, boom. It's Dollars to Donuts at our state fair.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Metnair. And this is a very, talk about a 180.
We're going from
really dark, really sad to the state fair.
That's all right. We're gonna lighten up the rest of the hour. So
The rest of the show will be light and will be fun, and including right now, we are finally giving away some Wisconsin State Fair tickets. Our show alone has 25 to give away, so we are doing that every day until the State Fair starts next week, and so we are very excited. I'm very excited to come up with this game. So I was trying to think of something that would be fun that we could do each day, and
they can't really lose.
You can't really lose. And so there is, for people who are not familiar, there is a word game that people sometimes play called Fornicate, Marry, Kill. But the fornicate is replaced with something else, which is a little crude. But it's, you know, you choose three celebrities and you have to pick one that you would do each with. So instead, with food, your options are devour once, one bite a day for the rest of your life, or banished to the depths of hell. So I have the list of 100 plus new food items at the Wisconsin State Fair. I'm going to list three off, and our caller each day is going to have to categorize each one of those. And so, Jane, who is playing today?
Joining us today, we have Richard from Sussex. Hey, Richard, thanks for calling in.
Well, good day, all. I'm very excited to be a part of the show after that down segment, like you mentioned. But I think we're ready to have some fun and win some State Fair tickets and talk about some really good food.
Really, really good food. What is typically your go-to, Richard, when you go to the State Fair? What is, like, the thing you have to have?
Oh, man. I got to have something on a stick, preferably at least a foot long.
I mean, there's plenty of options, but if that's the criteria.
I'm going with the corn dog that's a foot long every time. You got to.
All right.
Tis the season. You got to enjoy them.
What is your go-to after medicine? Tums, Alka-Seltzer, Imodium?
I find just having a six-pack of Miller High Life cures all. So that's generally what I do throughout the day anyway, and that'll get me where I need to be.
All right, Richard.
Spoken like a true Wisconsinite. Amen. All right, so here are your three options. So the first one is, there's not even a description. It's just alligator ribs. So that is option number one. Option number two, atomic slush, which is the world's hottest slush.
Oh, man.
And I think it means not temperature. I think it means
spicy.
Cayenne pepper.
Yep.
And then finally, a beer cheese Wisconsin lava cake, a salted Milwaukee pretzel company slider buns filled with beer cheese soup topped with hot honey. So, Richard, one you have to eat a bite of every day for the rest of your life, one you have to finish, devour once, and one you get to never eat and banish the depths of hell. Which one are you going with? Alligator ribs, atomic slush, beer cheese, Wisconsin lava cake?
Well, if it's going to be a bite every day for the rest of my sweet time on this planet Earth, I mean, as a true Wisconsin kid and one that devours about six High Lifes in a sitting, I'm going to have to go with the beer cheese lava cake.
Okay.
Hopefully that's made with a delicious Miller High Life batter of some kind or whatever you want to say. Devour, you know, this is tough. And then banish because, you know, I'm a real gator fan. And hopefully these were farm-raised and ethical gators that we're going to be devouring or banishing. Or the atomic slush sounds like something that will taste just as horrible going in as it will coming out.
So, you make an excellent point there, like, Richard.
I feel like I'm going to devour, whatever the word is, alligator ribs, and then I'm going to banish to the depths of Hades that atomic slush.
I think those are good choices.
I think those are excellent choices, Richard.
I think you get an A grade for how you categorized all of those. Thank you so much for listening, Richard, and thank you so much for playing. Jane is going to get your information. Don't hang up. Stay on the line, and she will get that from you. But yeah, so if you would like to play this game, we're going to play this every day for the rest of tomorrow. We'll play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and we'll probably play more than once because we have 25 tickets.
We got lots
to give
of tickets.
Away. So we got to give away a fair amount. And
we got a lot of people calling in too, which I appreciate. And hopefully everybody who's interested will have a chance to get those tickets. So
and again, and maybe
you can't lose.
You can't lose. And like all you know,
we may mock your choices, but you'll still get the tickets.
You'll still get the tickets, and you don't even have to give us your real name. Maybe once, give your real name to Jane, but at least on air, you don't have to give your real name.
You'll be publicly shamed.
Exactly. All right. Well, coming up next, J.R. Radcliffe is back. We've taken a little bit of a break because of summer vacations and the like, but very excited to talk to him about the Brewers. We have a new rookie who really made a splash over the weekend, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Packers training camp, which kicked off. We may talk about Rodgers. We may not.
Do we have to?
I don't know. It's just he did a very annoying move yesterday.
Oh, well, then let's talk about that.
And then last night, women's national team tied the Netherlands. It was a very fun game. But where does that mean? What does that mean for us now for our last game in group play? J.R. Radcliffe has all of that when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Our state fair is a great state fair. Don't miss it, don't even be late. Boom, 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 it's dollars to donuts that our state fair is the best state fair in our state. Our
State Fair is a great state fair. Don't miss it, don't even be late. It's dollars to donuts that our state fair is the best state fair in our state.
Our state fair is a great state fair. Don't miss it, don't even be late. It's dollars to donuts that our state fair is the best state fair in our state.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And we are so happy to welcome back Mr. J.R. Ratcliffe, who has he was on vacation. Then I think we had a day where you couldn't come on. So it's been a little while since we got to talk to you about some sports. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back. Thanks for not forgetting about me.
We did not. We never forget about you. So before we dive into some Brewers news, what is your go-to state fair food?
You know, for somebody who is built on the larger side, I'm just not a very adventurous eater. I don't even really like tailgate food, oddly enough. I'm kind of just a chicken and fries guy if I'm going out and eating something like at a state fair sort of thing. So I'm cool with bacon. I am all in on the ears of corn, you know. That's obviously something that shows up at state fair all the time. So I'm happy to have that, but I'm not going to go outside the box. I'm not going to eat a cockroach covered in chocolate, you know, or vanilla drizzle. Like, that's not for me. So
so you don't want to play the game that we're playing with contestants to win free tickets.
No, I'm so sorry, guys. I don't. I'm so boring. I can't do weird food.
Who's a pickier eater, you or your kids?
Oh, my children, yeah. They won't eat anything. I mean, that's not true. They'll eat it. They'll talk about how much they love it, but then they want something else and decide that this is the most disgusting thing they've ever had because somebody mentioned macaroni and cheese, and now that's the only thing that matters in this dinner scenario. But they are not the pickiest eaters I know among children, so I cannot complain ultimately. Okay. But yeah, they definitely I am not as picky as they are.
All right, that's good. All right, well, I've been sitting and waiting to talk about this on air because big news over the weekend. Sal Frelick, am I saying his name right?
It's Frelick, yes. Frelick. I talked to him yesterday, and I said it, and I was like, did I say that? I have no idea. There's three possible ways this could go. You know, Frelick. I don't even know the third one, but it is Frelick.
Not
Sal
Frodo.
Frelick.
Not Frodo. Frelick.
He is small. He is a small man for a professional athlete, but Frodo won't work.
But small but mighty, because he absolutely crushed it last weekend.
Yeah, that's about as good a debut as it gets. And for offensive players, I think you could argue it's the best debut any Brewers player has ever had, you know, major league debut. So starting on that Saturday night where doesn't rob two homers, but makes two good, great catches on the warning track. He, goes 3 for 3 on an at-bat where he didn't get a hit. He hits the game-winning, what ends up becoming the game-winning sacrifice fly in the eighth inning. A lot of drama at the end. I mean, it just doesn't get better than that. And I wasn't there. I may or may not have snuck off from the wedding I was at to listen to one of the innings in my car, maybe two of the innings
your
in
job.
My car.
Your
I don't
job.
Know. Yeah, it's professional curiosity, but also just curiosity. and heard the end of that game. It was wild, and there are a couple moments that come up. One that has, as a comparison, is 2005. Both Ricky Weeks and Prince Fielder hit their first career home runs in the same game. And that's about the time where the Brewers were getting really excited about this up-and-coming farm system of young guys. And they're not in the same place because they've had success the last few years. In 2005, it was like a barren wasteland for the 90s and the, you know, late 80s, early 90s, and most, you know, the 2000s. It hasn't been like that. But there is this wave of prospectum coming up. We've seen Joey Weimer, Bryce Terang. Mm-hmm. And Sal Frelick is probably – is as highly regarded as those guys, for sure, and is near the top of the list of the guys that people are sort of waiting to see. So he comes out – he just huge. He hit his first career home run then a couple games later. First, you know, he's not a home run hitter, but that was a huge, important run in a game that the Brewers won by one run. You know, his family was there. His mom stayed back to stay with the dog, which is super endearing. And he had, you know, just so many moments that he has been completely – sometimes guys get to the big leagues and they're overmatched. And it's totally understandable because, you know, it's going to take some acclimation. Yeah. And maybe those days will probably come for Sal Frelick as well, but he was not even remotely overmatched by what he saw in the big leagues in a big series against, you know, against the Reds here. This series during the week, like, it was a battle for first place, and he still made some important moments. So, really a fun time.
Really, really fun. Fun players to continue to watch, because Joey Weimer was the same thing. I mean, newsworthy, but I feel like I was at like his first game against the Cubs and stuff, and like he came out. So it's fun to see that we have young, really strong players. And so, speaking of potential new players, we have a trade deadline on Tuesday. Is there drama around that?
Always. The highest drama moment of the Major League Baseball season, almost unquestionably, probably more so than opening day even, is what happens at the trade deadline. So August 1st is when, middle of the day, August 1st is when we know when teams can trade players. Now there sometimes are trades that happen after that. That's been reduced actually in the last few years pretty dramatically. But, you know, after this point, if you're acquiring a player, he has to pass through waivers first, which means that other teams get a crack at him. He can't be eligible for the postseason. Like, long story short, trades do not really happen. Serious ones don't happen after this point in the season. So every team, you know, you've got your buyers and your sellers, the teams that are looking to prepare for next year, of which there are usually a very small number because a lot of teams make the playoffs. And then you've got teams like the Brewers that are looking to upgrade, and a lot of teams in this middle ground that you don't really know what they're going to do. They probably don't really know what they're going to do. So all the action gets concentrated right before the deadline. Everybody is waiting for every morsel of information they have before deciding what to do with certain players. And the Brewers they're kind of in dire need of some offense, particularly guys who can hit homers, guys who can play first base or third base, you know, maybe an outfielder, but they're going to be a lot of suitors for those same types of guys. Mm-hmm. So it's almost impossible to know how it shakes out, particularly for a team like Milwaukee that doesn't usually get in on the biggest names. And so it's usually guys that you haven't thought about or that, you know, it's a creative trade that requires players that you maybe didn't consider would be going the other way. And it's also a little bit overhyped in that the guys you get back, you only get them for 2 months in many cases. And there's just not a lot of time to make a huge difference. But all it takes is getting that guy who upgrades you just a little bit, has that big hit in September, October, and, you know, becomes immortal. So the Brewers could stand to improve their odds quite a bit by improving their offense.
All right. Good to know. And we will wait and see what happens by Tuesday. We're talking to J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about getting a little sports update. So moving on to the Packers.
All right.
Training camp started this week. Were you up there?
No, we've got a lot of Packers writers, and yeah. I'd much rather stick around here in Milwaukee. But it's definitely a fun time of year. A very different vibe because you're not talking about the Packers as a Super Bowl contender per se. So it's a big mystery, and I think in some ways for a lot of fans, it's kind of nice, kind of relaxing. It's like, if they don't win the Super Bowl this year, it won't cause me to you know run outside in the middle of winter, you know, begging the gods for something, you know, some. I don't know, restitution. I don't know what the word is there, but it'll be okay. It'll be okay if they just show some signs of progress this year.
Do you think that, or do you feel like they're Jordan? Because I was listening to, it wasn't Bill Simmons' podcast. It was one of the podcasts that my husband was making me listen to on our road trip up north. And there was a female like sports writer, and they were going through the list of which quarterbacks have the most pressure on them going into this season. And she put Jordan Love at the top. And then it's like, it's not necessarily warranted, but as far as just the press and the hype and the expectations of Packer fans, like she put him up there as far as who people are going to be watching right out of the gate and like how much time he will be allowed to improve before people, and especially because of what his deal ended up looking like as far as what this is. Do you agree with that?
I guess it depends on how you view pressure. Certainly the spotlight will be on him. You know, like they have a lot of primetime games for a team that doesn't have a superstar quarterback coming back. So there is a lot of interest. There will obviously, I mean, it's going to be the number one storyline throughout Packers camp, throughout the first several games, no question asked. So in that sense, is there pressure? Of course. I think it maybe doesn't give Packers fans quite enough credit for understanding where they are. Nobody comes in expecting him to be Aaron Rodgers or approach Aaron Rodgers' production. Both Rodgers and Brett Favre had quiet first seasons. Quiet's the wrong word. Like, there was improvement, but they did not go to the playoffs in their first full season as quarterback. It just doesn't usually work that way. So I think Packers fans understand that. I do think if, let's say, they start out hot, I think their bye is in week 5 or 6, you know, and they win 3 of their first 4, 4 of the first 5, I do think that's going to flip a little bit because now Packers fans are going to smell what this division is, and that's a winnable division without a clear-cut, you know, top team or even a clear-cut order at all for these four teams. They're going to start to say to themselves, okay, well, you know, this is a playoff opportunity, and now you got to take it. Now you got to go for what you got. Yeah. Go for seeing how far you can take this thing. So then things will ramp up a little bit. Unquestionably, there's pressure. You know, like if nothing else, he's playing for his future. You know, they're not gonna sit around here 3 years and wait for him to develop. He's already been here developing. Yeah. If he doesn't turn out pretty quickly early on or doesn't show signs that, you know, by year 2 or year 3, he could be a top-flight NFL quarterback, I do think they probably – I mean, even Aaron Rodgers, they were drafting guys behind him, you know. Mm-hmm. Those guys didn't work out, but there will be plan B and plan C formulated at that point. So there's that level of pressure. I don't think Packers fans expect him to hit the ground running to the point that this is a playoff team. But it is not out of the question that they will be a playoff team because the division is what it is, and other aspects of the team are supposedly pretty good this year.
All right. Well, we'll see the headlines that come out of it and see how people are watching him in training camp. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but we just have to acknowledge the fact that Aaron Rodgers' Jets deal came out yesterday. And guy took a pay cut. Guy took a pay cut, which is something that he never did with us. Thoughts, feelings?
Thanks for that, buddy. yeah, this is real. Like, he took a lot of the time when we talk about restructuring and re-signing, it's not what it sounds like. It's deals are there's so much minutia in the NFL salary cap that it's all about like restructuring it so that money you have to end up paying later, but the player doesn't really lose out. In this case, he basically is leaving $35 million on the table so that the Jets are in a better position to sign more talent, to you know, run things up. Tom Brady did this, and it's, I think, partially why you can explain his sustained success throughout his NFL career. Nobody else really does this. This is really kind of surprising, and maybe flip a little bit of a middle finger to Packers fans. But I also think, I mean, if you could get him to do that, like, he has to acknowledge on some level, I'm not sure he does, but his production isn't what it's going to be. He struggled last season. He is not one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL. He's close, maybe, but you have to kind of squint to even make that argument. So he probably knows that if this team is going to go to the playoffs, and I do want to play, say, another 4 years, it is prudent, actually, to try and build this team up around me, get all these receiving weapons, and get a better defense. Like, that makes some sense. I just didn't think Aaron Rodgers would acknowledge that to that degree. Again, this does not happen a lot, but it did happen with Tom Brady, and that was successful. So, great. I'm glad he loves New York. Good for him.
All right, and finally, I watched the game last night. I was at Nomad on Brady with a lot of really good turnout of people. Cheering hard to watch what most sports fans don't understand when it comes to soccer, which is a tie between the women's U.S. national team and the Netherlands. But it was 1-1. Were you able to watch the game?
I watched. Yep, I watched as much as I could. Love the weird tête-à-tête in the latter half where Lindsay Horan and her club teammate got into it. Van de Donk from Netherlands got into it. And then the referee brought them together like she was scolding them, or they were like, now you say you're sorry and you say you're sorry. And then immediately after that, Rose Lavelle, University of Wisconsin and Madison, shout out there. Beautiful corner kick. And Horan, of all people, heads it right home. A very necessary goal. And very wild.
And it was
sequence.
A beautiful header. Like the succession of those events of the fight and the push
awesome.
And the like whatever apology that they had to have, and I was like, I've never seen this
so
in men's
weird.
Sports.
I know, and I thought the exact same thing.
Like shut her up by just scoring was so fun and so awesome.
Yeah.
But going into the last game, so now we play Portugal, the Netherlands play Vietnam, and basically like do we have to win?
Win or tie, okay. Yes. If they lose, there is an outside shot, but I would not count on Vietnam beating the Netherlands, and that's what it would take. So absolutely do not lose this next match. They lose a little bit of netting, but they should be okay. They're going to win or tie against Portugal. It'll be all right.
All right. Good to know. Well, JR, we will see you in 2 weeks when you're back. We're happy to have you back. And I'll see you around the office at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Sounds great. Come on down. We'll see you then.
All right. We got one more break. We'll come back right after this. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And throughout today's show, I have been refreshing Twitter to see what's going on with the Milwaukee County Board, because they are voting today on whether or not they will have an increase of 0.4% to the sales tax. And yesterday's event went really well. You can go back and watch the live stream of my, well, it was Rob Henkin from Wisconsin Policy Forum. And he actually gave a really good presentation that even I learned some stuff as far as kind of like the numbers of the Milwaukee County and how, yes, there was a pension problem, but just structurally looking at the numbers of like the way the state has structured how we fund counties and cities, like the math does not math, despite the fact that there's been so many cuts. And so I asked David yesterday, I was like, how you feeling? And he's like, I'll feel, you know, hopefully better tomorrow.
When it's over. And I just want to say, and my husband and I were just talking about this. There has been so much deferred maintenance that started under Scott Walker. And things just got pushed back and pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. And that can got kicked down the road again and again and again. And
well, and it's because that was their, and it was because that was the cuts that they knew how to make was, and that was largely what Rob Henkin said in his speech is like, this is where they cut employees, they cut transit stuff like then they but they also this deferred maintenance. I mean, we're gonna lose the domes probably. Yes. I think last thing I saw is maybe they save one.
I just don't see that happening. I really don't.
You don't think they'll even save one?
I you're gonna have to rip the whole thing down and rebuild it.
Yeah. And you know, and it was not without efforts to live within means. But there's fixed costs. And obviously we've been on the show, so I haven't been able to follow all the people who are tweeting about it, but it does not look like they've voted yet. But the vote will happen today. And, you know, and one of the questions I asked County Executive Crowley yesterday was, you know, so if there's a no vote, procedurally, what happens?
Yeah.
And they can bring it back, like they can vote on it again, but that loses time. And that loses money. And like, we need to have this happen now. And if it does, I mean, for the sales tax for Milwaukee, that starts in the city, that starts January 1st. If this passes today, that also starts January 1st. And so no news yet, but that could be one of the conversations that we have. It could be a conversation we have tomorrow, or at least we'll acknowledge it tomorrow when we come back. And have tomorrow's show. And like I said, Maggie Dawn is going to be here, which I'm very excited about.
Me too.
If you have not had the chance to listen to her show yet, 6 p.m. Brilliant. She's brilliant.
She is.
Monday through Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. She speaks like she's a lawyer, so she knows the law, and but she also talks about it in a way that is so passionate and so yet open-minded. That she's great. And so and we're also just happy to have more women on the Civic Media Network.
Upping the estrogen.
Upping the estrogen's never a bad thing. And then Matt Miller will also be here. So we finally will get to talk about the Barbie movie a little bit. I have yet to see it. Are you going to see it this weekend?
Not this weekend, but I will see it before it leaves theaters. I don't like crowds. I don't want to sit in. Go away.
That's so interesting. Do you not feel like, I was thinking about this last night as I was watching the women's soccer game. And granted, I am an extrovert, but I feel like there is something about experiencing sports, concerts, movies, that is a different experience than when you watch it alone. And I think it's a heightened experience. Like, there is something that I feel like, for me, watching last night's game at home, it's easier to, especially with soccer, right? Because, like, if you're invested, at any moment there could be a goal.
Sure.
But there's also, most of the game, there is no goal. And if I was at home watching the game, I don't think I would have gotten out of my chair as many times as I pregnantly got out of my chair last night and, like,
yeah,
like, cheering. Because the ethos of the environment is everyone's cheering and everyone's making noises and everyone's like, oh, and then they get let down because it was almost a goal and then it wasn't, or the other team almost scored and then it wasn't. And, like, the enthusiasm that can build when you're watching with a group. It's the same thing if you watch, like, a comedy special. Like, I feel like when you watch a comedy special at home, you maybe laugh out loud, but, like, you think it's funny. Unlike, I feel like, how much more likely you are to laugh out loud when you're in a group who is also laughing out loud.
I understand what you're saying, but I have no problems laughing out loud completely alone,
completely
by
alone,
myself, or at inappropriate times in movies.
Okay.
I mean, there was
so the crowd doesn't do anything for you.
No.
It doesn't change your experience, except for the worst.
Not at all. There was a movie that Cindy Crawford was in many, many, many years ago. They had the premiere in Milwaukee. It was so bad, I could not stop howling.
Is that the one she did with, like, Richard Gere?
With one of the Baldwins.
Oh, Baldwin. She was the one with the Baldwin?
With one of the Baldwins. It was one of the worst movies I've ever seen. And she was...
I bet she looked good, though.
She looked great. But she's one of the, she was terrible. And the the person sitting next to me is like, can you stop laughing so loud? And I'm like, I can't stop because this is hilarious. So, yeah, mobs don't, that doesn't.
It does nothing for you.
Nah, I don't care.
All right. Well, we can still get you to go to the Laughing Tap.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not mobs at the movie theater.
Right.
All right. Well, anyway, so Matt Miller will be here tomorrow and I'm sure we'll talk his reviews of Oppenheimer and Barbie, because I'm absolutely sure that he has seen both of them. We'll get his opinion on, the reviews themselves and what it says about our culture, and do just a general pop culture update with him like we do once a month. And so we got a good show tomorrow and then we'll round out the week. Got a short week next week, but and you'll have a chance. I think we'll play twice tomorrow.
Okay.
So if you liked today's State Fair game, you'll have two chances to win tomorrow and let us know what foods you would devour, eat for the rest of your life, or banish the depths of hell. Thank you to everyone. Thank you to J.R. Radcliffe. Thank you to everyone who called in and texted in. Thank you to Richard from Sussex. Have fun at the State Fair. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.